Jersey City. Flickering dirty neon over alleys mean and dirty.
Hello, everybody. From a nightclub, from a very empty, dark nightclub at the end of the world tonight, with Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, with you on Sunday, 17th of November, 2013. I got a jam-packed script tonight, going to move through a lot of things. We will talk about my dog Rags a little bit later. I know there's many of you are listening are going to have questions about that. But we just got to move into stuff right now, and we got to get moving through it, because that's the way you do it. Facebook comment of the week from my friend David Smith on Facebook a few days ago. The emotional field is very disturbed right now, and those of us who are sensitive are finding it very difficult to function. Amen. I hope that offers some validation to some people out there today. I want to offer great praise to Deborah Whiteplume of the Oglala Nation, who was videotaped this week, and it's up on my Facebook page very clearly, up near the Black Hills in South Dakota, the sacred lands of all the Sioux peoples. She just, women and spirituality rising, she just told the people with the Keystone Pipeline to get the heck out of Dodge. You ain't building no pipeline across our territory, and if you do, we're going to fight you. She was very inspiring this week. And so before we get into anything else, there's something that I want you guys to hear, because it's more important than anything else I may say tonight. We're going to have a theme of indigenous peoples tonight, and statements that have been coming this week and actions that have been coming this week. But I want you to stop right now, take a second, and calibrate yourself, tune yourself. Listen to Chief Oren Lyons. He is with the Turtle Clan of the Onondaga Nation. This is a recording he made in February 2013. It's up on my Facebook page right now. Let's all synchronize ourselves to this before we go on. Listen to this.
We, in our collective voices, add to this that there must be a reconciliation between peoples and the natural world, between nation states and the forests that sustain us, between corporations and the resources that they mine, the fish they catch, and the water that they use. Leaders of the world, the indigenous nations and peoples believe in the spiritual powers of the universe. We believe in the ultimate power and authority of a limitless energy beyond our comprehension. We believe in the order of the universe. We believe in the laws of creation, and that all life is bound by these same natural laws. This is what gives the world the energy to create and procreate, and becomes the ponderous and powerful law of regeneration. The law of the seed. We, in our collective voices, speak to this to remind you that the spirit and spiritual laws transcend generations. We know, because this has sustained us. Peace is dynamic and requires great efforts of spirit and mind to attain unity. Leaders of peace must step forward and take responsibility for a paradigm change in the direction of current lifestyles and materialistic societies. The human species has become the most voracious and abusive consumer of Earth's resources. We have tipped the balance of life against our children, and we imperil our future as a species. Leaders of the world, there can be no peace as long as we wage war upon our mother, the Earth. Responsible and courageous actions must be taken to realign ourselves with the great laws of nature. We must meet this crisis now, while we still have time. We offer these words as common peoples in support of peace, equity, justice, and reconciliation. As we speak, the ice continues to melt in the north.
He nailed everything on the head, and that's one of the things that that we're going to see in a theme tonight, that the messages that are being delivered now by indigenous people all over the world with increasing power are the same message. It's the same message I've been carrying, but it's the same message they have been carrying for 10 or 12,000 years or 40,000 years. It is the message, and it makes sense of life when of what's going on around us when very little else does kind of present a cohesive pattern. That's been what I've been trying to do here on the show and throughout my life's work, is to make people understand that this is a spiritual crisis that we are in, and only a spiritual approach will get us out of it as we face our death. The jaws of Fukushima and climate change are wide open, and they're getting close. I can feel the saliva. I can smell the bad breath. Starting tomorrow, it's official. TEPCO has announced they will begin to remove the spent fuel rod assemblies from reactor number 4 at Fukushima. I disagree with those saying that it's all already burned. No, we've had confirmation of partial burns there, but no, there's a lot of wreckage there, and there's a lot of dangerous fuel. The most disturbing developments this week were revelations. Arne Gunderson talked about them, and revelations came out on ENA News and elsewhere. That damaged fuel rods are in that fuel pool, and they've been in there since the 1980s. There's, I don't know how many, 20, 30 of them. Those are going to have to come out. But the scariest part that Arne Gunderson caught was that the boron that surrounds the fuel pool got washed away, and they're having to pour increasing amounts of boron into the water. Boron being what can prevent a spontaneous chain reaction, and the efficacy of what boron they're getting in there is also diminishing, as is everything else in and around Fukushima. As more people are getting sick openly, as more lies are being revealed, et cetera, we know the story. Climate collapse is running apace and boring down on us right now. And we're all aware of that. We're all aware that our lives are in imminent peril, and events seem to be accelerating. The pressures are there. And in the midst of all this, my dog Rags ran away 2 days ago, Friday. Doug Lewis, my housemate, bandmate, and his dog Squishy, who had been Rags' best friend since they were puppies for almost 6 years, moved back to Marin County to care for Doug's ailing mother. I hope that Doug and Squishy and Doug's mom and everybody are doing well back there in San Francisco tonight. But Rags has been a part of that pack, and Rags was a rescue, and he's got insecurities that I don't know where they came from. That happened in the first 8-10 months of his life before I rescued him, covered with mange. And he was breaking down. He was looking very scared. I left for 2 hours on Friday. He was in the house. And Roman, a guy who lives out back in a trailer, came in and let him out. Roman's the closest, the only human being living within a mile of where I am. Nice guy, but he watches TV 24/7. But Rags ran off right away, and he's looking for Squishy. He's looking for Doug, and he's lost. And so I've been going through the motions with that. I have done everything that I can. I've been out driving around. I've made flyers, made contacts, contact the vet, the only local vet tomorrow, sheriff's department. There's no animal control out here. This is wilderness. This is a wide open country. I mean, And my heart is breaking, and Rags is my best friend. Many of you have all come to know and love him through the movie, through Facebook, through everything else. Rags is kind of a legend, and I know, and I'm so grateful to everyone who's sent messages from all over the world on Facebook praying for him. Wonderful messages of love and support. Dog, my dog, you got people on five continents praying for you tonight. And wishing you a safe return home. We know that that may not be the case, but I'm in a mode. I'm in a mood. I mean, I've even taken to. I got some pairs of my underwear from the dirty clothes hamper, and I'm tacking them up on telephone poles toward the area where he was last seen, so that maybe it'll give him a scent trail. This is not a neighborhood watch area. This is wilderness. And hey, there's some guy nailing underpants up on telephone poles. This is rural Colorado, and I think more than half the people here would understand what I was doing. And I'm living on that. But you listen, I'm having a real hard time. And I mentioned last week that I wanted to play all the girly songs, all the women's songs that have saved my ass, that have held me together, that have inspired me, that have carried a message. And I got four of those tonight. We're going to go through them. And I make no apologies for these. These are the songs that I go to now, that I'm playing now, that help me to get through times that are so emotionally stressful and heartbreaking. These are the songs that have kept me walking when I didn't think I could walk anymore. And here's the first of those songs. It's a song by the wonderful, incredible Annie Lennox, and it's called Walking on Broken Glass. Let's hear it.
Walking on broken glass.
Spirit for Annie Lennox, man. That's one of the best dancing songs ever, and it is a song that transforms Heartache Man into I Feel Better Now. All right, I want to move because the indigenous people are talking and they are speaking better than I am, or they are speaking with more authority than I have. We are all carrying the same message. It's the same message I've been carrying here and throughout the course of my work as it has evolved. Sometime this next week, Chief Avril Looking Horse, who is the spiritual leader of the Great Sioux Nation, speaking for a council of indigenous elders from around the hemisphere, will be addressing the United Nations. You didn't hear much about that. I believe it's on Wednesday. I'm not sure. But this is a statement prepared by the Council of Indigenous Elders, which will be read at the UN. You cannot say that indigenous peoples are not screaming, we have the answer, we have the explanation. We've been, you know, waiting for this. And I'm just going to read this, and then we'll go into a station break after that. I got three more songs for you. I'm feeling good energy tonight, and I feel you all praying for Rags, and we'll talk about all that later. But let's read this statement. Now, I will read this and attempt to honor it beautifully. These words speak for me in a way that I, as a student who has clambered 62 years of his life to come to these understandings, and I just hear it said so perfectly here. So I salute the wisdom of my elders, my uncles, my grandfathers, and grandmothers and aunties who contributed to this. This is the message. It makes sense. Council statement, October 31st of this year. This statement reflects the wisdom of the spiritual people of the earth of North and South America working in unity to restore peace, harmony, and balance for our collective future and for all living beings. The statement is written in black and white with a foreign language that is not our own and does not convey the full depth of our concerns. The Creator created the people of the earth into the land at the beginning of creation and gave us a way of life. This way of life has been passed down generation to generation since the beginning. We have not honored this way of life through our own actions, and we must live these original instructions in order to restore universal balance and harmony. We are a part of creation. Thus, if we break the laws of creation, we destroy ourselves. We, the original caretakers of Mother Earth, have no choice but to follow and uphold the original instructions, which sustains the continuity of life. We recognize our umbilical connection to Mother Earth and understand that she is the source of life, not a resource to be exploited. We speak on behalf of all creation today to communicate an urgent message that man has gone too far, placing us in the state of survival. We warned that one day you would not be able to control what you have created. That day is here. Not heeding warnings from both nature and the people of the earth keeps us on the path of self-destruction. This self-destructive path has led to the Fukushima nuclear crisis, Gulf oil spill, tar sands devastation, pipeline failures, impacts of carbon dioxide emissions, and the destruction of groundwater through hydraulic fracking, just to name a few. In addition, these activities and development continue to cause the deterioration and destruction of sacred places and sacred waters that are vital for life. Powerful technologies are out of control and are threatening the future of all life. The Fukushima nuclear crisis alone is a threat to the future of humanity. Yet our concern goes far beyond the single threat. Our concern is with the cumulative and compounding devastation that is being wrought by the actions of human beings around the world. It is the combination of resource extraction, genetically modified organisms, moral failures, pollution, introduction of invasive species, and much, much more that are threatening the future of life on Earth. The compounding of bad decisions and their corresponding actions are extremely short-sighted. They do not consider the future generations, and they do not respect or honor the Creator's natural law. We strongly urge for the governmental authorities to respond with an open invitation to work and consult with us to solve the world's problems without war. We must stop waging war against Mother Earth and ourselves. We acknowledge that all of these devastating actions originated in human beings who are living without regard for the Earth as the source of life. They have strayed from the original instructions by casting aside the Creator's natural law. It is now critical for humanity to acknowledge that we have created a path to self-destruction. We must restore the original instructions in our lives to halt this devastation. The sanctity of the original instructions has been violated. As a result, the spiritual people of Earth were called ceremonially to come together at the home of the sacred white buffalo calf pipe bundle. These spiritual leaders and those that carry great responsibility for their people from both North and South America. They came together with the sacred fire for 4 days at the end of September 2013 to fulfill their sacred responsibilities. During this time, it was revealed that the spirit of destruction gained its strength by our spiritually disconnected actions. We are all responsible in varying degrees for calling forth the spirit of destruction. Thus, we are all bound to begin restoring what we have damaged by helping one another recover our sacred responsibility to the earth. We, the original caretakers of Mother Earth, offer our spiritual insight, wisdom, and vision to the global community to help guide the actions needed to overcome the current threats to all life. We have only to look at our own bodies to recognize the sacred purpose of water on our Mother Earth. We respect and honor our spiritual relationship with the lifeblood of Mother Earth. One does not sell or contaminate their mother's blood. These capitalistic actions must stop, and we must recover our sacred relationship with the spirit of water. The people of Earth understand that the Fukushima nuclear crisis continues to threaten the future of all life. We understand the full implications of this crisis, even with the suppression of information and the filtering of truth by the corporate-owned media and nation-states. We strongly urge the media corporations and nation-states to acknowledge and convey the true facts that threaten us so that the international community may work together to resolve this crisis based on the foundation of truth. We urge the international community, government of Japan, and TEPCO to unify efforts to stabilize and remediate the nuclear threat posed at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, to ensure that the Japanese government and TEPCO are supported with qualified personnel and information. We urge the inclusion of today's nuclear experts from around the world to collaborate, advise, and provide technical assistance to prevent further radioactive contamination or, worse, a nuclear explosion that may have apocalyptic consequences. The foundation for peace will be strengthened by restoring the original instructions in ourselves. Prophecies have been shared and sacred instructions were given. We, the people of the earth, were instructed that the original wisdom must be shared again when imbalance and disharmony are upon Mother Earth. In 1994, the sacred white buffalo, the giver of the sacred pipe, returned to the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota people, bringing forth the sacred message that the winds of change are here. Since that time, many more messengers in the form of white animals have come, telling us to wake up, my children. It is time. So listen for the sacred instruction. All life is sacred. We come into life as sacred beings. When we abuse the sacredness of life, we affect all creation. We urge all nations and human beings around the world to work with us, the original caretakers of Mother Earth, to restore the original instructions and uphold the Creator's natural law as a foundation for all decision-making from this point forward. Our collective future as human beings is in our hands. We must address the Fukushima nuclear crisis and all actions that may violate the Creator's natural law. We have reached the crossroads of life and the end of our existence. We will avert this potentially catastrophic nuclear disaster by coming together with good minds and prayer as a global community of all faiths. We are the people of the earth, united under the Creator's law with a sacred covenant to protect and a responsibility to extend life for all future generations. We are expressing deep concern for our shared future and urge everyone to awaken spiritually. We must work in unity to help Mother Earth heal so that she can bring back balance and harmony for all her children. Representatives for the Council, Chief Avril Looking Horse, 19th generation keeper of the sacred white buffalo calf pipe, spiritual leader of the Great Sioux Nation, Bobby C. Billy Clan and spiritual leader council of the original Miccosukee Seminole Nation Aboriginal people, Faith Spotted Eagle, Tungtan Inajinwin, Braveheart Society, Grandmother Headswoman Ihangtuan, Treaty Council, forgive me for the pronunciation, Ihangtuan, Dakota, of the Seven Council Fires. There are many other signatures, but this was a very considered, and I just know from hearing pieces about it, that this was deliberated, and the indigenous peoples around the world are very aware of the situation that is existing out here in the world. They are waiting. And for all the experience that I have, for the life that I have walked, and the work that I have done in the realm of the mind and documentation and research from the Cartesian standpoint before I came to this truth spiritually as well, my considered opinion is that the only option we have left as a species, if we want to save anything on this planet, is for all of industrial civilization, for all mankind, to go to indigenous peoples who have kept the ways for all these years and surrender to them and say, teach us, because we are incapable and these guys have the answer. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth. We're at the bottom of the hour here on the Lifeboat Hour on PRN-FM. We're going to take a break, and I'll be back with you right after these messages. That is my dear friend Diane Patterson, who I heard from today, and more than once in my life since I've been aware of her music, have I fled there for comfort. We communicated today about Rags, and I would have played her tonight, but I wanted to play songs that I had never played before, and we'll have Diane on again. She brought us back. Before we go a little further here, because I got four songs tonight, and you can hear the emotion in my voice, because I'm missing my dog mightily as I do this show tonight. And I'm feeling what we're all feeling. Of course, for all the people who, 5 to 10 million people in the Philippines who are homeless and have lost everything as a result of Haiyan, or the people in the Midwest now, we're having tornadoes, a huge tornado storm breaking out over the Midwest, unseasonal in locations where it doesn't happen. Anybody suffering, the loss of my dog by comparison is not much, but our emotions need to be honored. They need to be respected, and I'm struggling. So now we're going to other, I'm going to play another song now. When I was a cop in South Central, I worked in an area called the Jungle in South Central, which was where in the 70s and very early 80s there was a place called Sherm Alley, which was, Sherm was PCP, the worst drug I've ever encountered. And I was working narcotics at the time. But that became Crack Alley. And for some during the 70s and the 80s and 90s, the Crack Alley would be called Suicide Alley. But there's also the very obvious direct connection, Suicide Alley, you know, and there are times, and many of us have been there. I would say a lot of us have been there. I've been there many times when I was on the edge. When only loving words from someone who just loved you more than, but somebody who had also walked the hardest of walks, someone who you knew struggled it out and walked through it. Now, I've worn out probably 3 CDs of Sean Colvin's album, CD, A Few Small Repairs. Sean Colvin's one of my best friends ever musically, and I run to her a lot. And here's a song by Sean Colvin called Suicide Alley. John Cohen, thank you. That song and so many of your songs have saved me so many times because you have such enormous credibility for the things that you have overcome to produce your music and what you communicate with those songs. If I had my way, I'd play several more John Cohen songs. Don't have time. Got a couple more songs to play for you, though. Now, this week, I've been talking about activity on the part of indigenous people who around the world. They're saying, as I've been leading, and it's like, okay, you're ready to listen now? This is it. This is the moment of truth. So in Lima, the 28th to the 30th of October 2013, these are all very recent events, La Conferencia Global de Mujeres Indígenas, the World Conference of Indigenous Women, released a statement, the Lima Declaration. And this is what it says. We indigenous women from seven sociocultural regions of the world met at World Conference of Indigenous Women. Progress and challenges regarding the future we want in Lima, Peru, from October 28th to the 30th of 2013. Our gathering included elders and youth, urban and rural, knowledge holders, healers, activists, and artists. We were honored by the participation of our allies and supporters, including UN agencies, UN mechanisms, and on Indigenous Peoples, Global Coordinating Group, World Conference of Indigenous Peoples, contributors, governments, and organizations in solidarity. We shared our stories, struggles, victories, challenges, and proposals to move us forward, building upon what we have already achieved. We have based our discussions on the contributions of those women who came before us, as well as our aspirations for future generations. We celebrated the strength, beauty, and expertise of Indigenous women at this gathering and around the world. We Indigenous women, listen to this very carefully, we Indigenous women assert our right to self-determination, which encompasses the direct, full, and effective participation of Indigenous peoples, including the vital role of Indigenous women in all matters related to our human rights, political status, and well-being. We endorse the principle, nothing about us, without us, and further declare, everything about us, with us. We Indigenous women affirm our responsibility to protect the earth, our mother. Indigenous women experience the same pain and impacts from the physical abuse and excessive exploitation of the natural world of which we are an integral part. We will defend our lands, waters, territories, and resources, which are the source of our survival with our lives. Protection of Mother Earth is an historic, sacred, and continuing responsibility of the world's indigenous peoples as the ancestral guardians of the Earth's lands, waters, oceans, ice, mountains, and forests. They have sustained our distinct cultures, spirituality, traditional ceremonies, social structures, intuitions, and political relations from immemorial times. Indigenous women play a primary role in safeguarding and sustaining Mother Earth and her cycles. Today, at this time of compounded crises of climate change and impending irreversible loss of biological diversity, we Indigenous women underscore the duty of states to protect the territories of Indigenous peoples as critical areas for the social, cultural, and ecological recovery and resilience of humankind and the natural world. For Indigenous peoples, our lands and territories comprise not only the geographical and physical areas of our lands, waters, oceans, ice, mountains, and forests, but also the profound cultural, social, and spiritual relationships, values, and responsibilities that connect us to our ancestral homelands. Indigenous peoples' sovereign jurisdiction over our lands, territories, and resources is the foundation of our rights to self-determination, self-governance, and free prior and informed consent. State violations and failure to uphold these rights are a primary source of conflicts and overlapping claims by extractive industries, forest concessions, energy programs, and other harmful projects arising from a failed and exploitative model of economic growth and development. Indigenous women call upon states to recognize and respect our rights to lands, territories, and resources as enshrined in Indigenous customary law, the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and other international human rights instruments. This includes our right to freely pursue our own economic, social, and cultural development. There is an urgent need to implement the rights enshrined in the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Indigenous women are active human rights defenders of all individuals and collective human rights of our peoples. We often bear the burden of social and environmental harms arising from the consistent denial and violation of our human rights and the lack of implementation and accountability of states. Indigenous women and girls experience multiple forms of discrimination, lack of access to education, health care, high rates of poverty, maternal and child mortality. We are subject to all forms of violence, such as domestic violence and sexual abuse, including in the context of trafficking, armed conflict, environmental violence, and extractive industries. As Indigenous women, we recognize the importance of sexual and reproductive health and education for all ages. This includes our associated rights to culturally appropriate health and education services in our communities and the right to exercise, maintain, and control our own health, knowledge, and practices. We call for zero tolerance for all forms of discrimination and all forms of violence against Indigenous women and girls, which are among the worst and most pervasive forms of human rights violation perpetrated against Indigenous peoples. Finally, we affirm that Indigenous women have knowledge, wisdom, and practical experience which has sustained human societies over generations. We as mothers, life givers, culture bearers, and economic providers nurture the linkages across generations and are the active sources of continuity and positive change. There's more to this, but as I look through this, and you can find this at the website en.mujerindigena.com, mujerindigena.com. It's also on my Facebook page. Or you can just Google World Conference of Indigenous Women. You will find this statement. But as I look through here, read some of the countries that had sent their indigenous people: Congo, Kenya, Nigeria, South Africa, Sudan, Uganda, Canada, Alaska, Finland, Greenland, Norway, Bangladesh, Cambodia, China, Taiwan, Philippines, India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Nepal, Thailand, Argentina, Belize, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Mexico, Nicaragua, Panama, Paraguay, Peru, Canada, United States, Australia, Hawaii, Guam, Indonesia, New Zealand, Russia, Argentina, Colombia, Mexico. These are indigenous women who have carried the traditions of those lands, and this is big stuff. What they're saying here is, and we've got to rush to get a couple more songs in here, but we're going to do it. The indigenous peoples are stepping up. They have the answers. They may have the only answers to the crises that are confronting us now. They are spiritual. They are rules of life which allow access to powers that are not within the 3D world. My suggestion to the human race is that we just surrender to the indigenous peoples and we and ask forgiveness and say, teach us, because they truly want everything to live. Now it's time for another song. Oh, I've got a couple minutes over because Gary went over, so we might be going to make this again. All right, this is the most girly song of the bunch. I've got two more, but when I get run over like I am with my dog missing and the loneliness of this place now that I'm here all alone probably through the winter, that's going to be a stretch. Here's Johnny. It's not going to be that. I am in Colorado, but I'm not at a hotel. This is it, man. This is the ultimate. This is the ultimate one. That it's not a manly song at all, but God, it gives me strength. It's Carly Simon. The song is called "Coming Around Again." I need it. Anybody ever notice that there are certain things that only women can give? And they do it so well, and that's what's needed right now. So these songs are helping me out a lot tonight, man. We're down to, we got time. We're going to make this. I want to say thank you, by the way. On the fundraising front, I do what I do for love. I don't ask anything for it. I don't get paid for this show. I don't get paid for the work on Facebook. I have small royalties for books, which are fading rapidly. But thank you this week, and I'm catching up, to Diana Wayburn, Carl Beth Klein, Carl and Beth Klein, excuse me, Terry Doucette, Pete Arena, and Frank Damiano. Thank you so much, Frank. I've received stuff from you this week. If you want to write to me, Mike Rupert can't write to Rags anymore until he comes home. When Rags, write to Rags. He's coming home. We'll find him. 27378, 27378 Red Cloud Avenue in Moffitt, M-O-F-F-A-T, Colorado 81143. If you're on Facebook, you can message me there. I have a PayPal. And we will keep this love circulating. And I made a comment recently that now is the time to spend our love fully and completely as though it were fiat currency on an unlimited line of credit. What are we waiting for? I've been inspired by a lot of people this week, and I was going to pay tribute to a great many, and I will, but I'm kind of happy with the way this show turned out tonight, even though I was so stressed tacking my underwear up on telephone poles all over Sowatch County. But there's a great hero in Japan who is a guy, and his name is Iori Mochizuki, or he signs Mochizuki Iori. He's a bit, he's shy, but he does Fukushima Diary, and he wrote something very beautiful. And then we will go to that and close with the one girly woman female Save My Ass song that is at the absolute top of the pile by Alanis Morissette. But I want to read this, and then we will close the show out with that song. He's doing amazing work right there. He's a warrior in the trenches, and he said, "Let there's no one else doing what I'm doing here," right? Let Japan started the journalism research company specialized in anti-nuke and mass media. Profit is from donation instead of selling something. He's in Romania, apparently, but he's Japanese from Fukushima. But I so identify with what he writes, Fukushima Diary. You got to go look this guy up. It's good stuff. There's nobody to consult. I know that. This is not the sense of loneliness. This is the sense of frontier. I am the first one to do anything. Sometimes or often I feel somewhat anxiety and scared. But again, there's nobody to talk to about that. Even if I talk about that, nobody can really understand. Some people even try to take advantage of me for marketing something. You know, yeah, I've been there. But I'm not going back. This is what I live for, he writes. When I feel like I'm crushed by pressure, the only thing to save me is the sense that I did my best. Maybe I make mistake. Maybe I choose the wrong one. However, at least I'm sure I do my best all the time. Whenever I look back, I can think I couldn't choose anything else. I couldn't do anything better. Maybe it's miracle itself that I am still alive. Life is like, I love this line, life is like snow. Even if you melt as soon as you land, you'll cool down the ground so that the following snowflakes can survive. Ooh. I haven't betrayed me ever since 3/11, and I will not. Some people decided to accept the lies. They think living true is too expensive, but when they become alone, who is going to blame? This is, again, he's not, English is not his first language, but he got, living true is costly, but living a lie is worthless. Mochizuki Chashire Iori, writer of Fukushima Diary. You people inspire me. I love you. All right, so here's the song. We're going to close out with this. Alanis Morissette, You Learn. This one will carry me and you through anything. Write it in. I love you. See you guys next week. Good night.